And the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour." Talk about a lack of preparation. Who takes an oil lamp with no oil? It's like taking a flashlight camping with no batteries. Makes no sense. But we could at least put the best construction on it and say, well, maybe they didn't have time to prepare. Maybe they forgot. Really a harmless mistake, undeserving of the bridegroom's locking the door at their coming. Such conclusions draw sympathy for the foolish virgins. But they don't exactly fit the parable. I mean, we're talking about a wedding here. And usually people do not forget their upcoming wedding date. And weddings require a lot of preparation. Brides prepare for their groom. That's just what they do. These virgins, the foolish virgins, they at least knew the bridegroom was coming, and they had time to prepare, so much so the text even says they fell asleep. But they didn't get ready. They weren't prepared. Why? Why exactly did the foolish ones refrain from bringing sufficient oil for their lamps? Understanding sin and what it does to people shines light on the answer to that question. People do sinful things that defy explanation. The actions of an unbeliever so often don't make sense to the Christian because their minds have become defiled by sin, and they think in a way contrary to the Holy Spirit. We've seen people do things and thought to ourselves, why did you do that? The foolish virgins, though, they don't have the lamp of God. They don't have the light of Christ. They have their own wick, and it has no oil, and it will be snuffed out. They run out of oil. They show up empty-handed, too late, for the door is shut. Lord, Lord, open to us. Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Conclusion? It's pretty simple. Be prepared. Be prepared. The bridegroom is coming, and you neither know the day nor the hour. Now, we should be a little careful here and not look down on the foolish virgins too much and think we're immune to their eternal mistake. I said sin causes people to do foolish things. One only has to read the book of Proverbs, which we've been doing a lot lately in Bible study, and see how Holy Writ speaks of the fool. The fool flaunts his folly. He jokes about sin. He doesn't want to hear one drop of instruction. The adjective foolish used right here in Matthew's gospel, the Holy Spirit doesn't use it for nothing. But it's a word that has deep Old Testament roots. But at least these virgins, they knew enough about the bridegroom to summon him with the divine title Lord. They at least knew he was coming. They accompany the wise virgins and they bring a lamp. So it's not as if they were totally ignorant about God. Rather than seeing the foolish virgins as rank unbelievers, perhaps it's a little more precise to see them as hypocrites in the church. The chaff mixed with the wheat. Deluded unbelievers thinking they are part of the church, when in reality, they are not. Perhaps they are the ones who the Lord describes as people who honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They thought time was on their side, that they could either borrow oil from the other people or run off in the middle of the night and go buy some as if merchants are opened in the middle of the night. There's always tomorrow. There's always later. There's always next week. Always next month. There's always time. That kind of thinking hits a little closer to home, because that's a temptation we too suffer with, thinking there's always tomorrow. There's always another day to get it done and get busy. Maybe not. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming. There may not be tomorrow. Speaking of the second coming of our Lord Jesus, we don't know a lot of details about it, but there are 3 points that stand out in Holy Scripture. Point number one is, when God comes, everybody will know it. Stay away from teachings that say God will come and go and nobody will know that he did. As lightning flashes across the sky, you will know when your Lord Jesus returns. Second, when our Lord Jesus comes again, he tells his people in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, hold your heads high, because you will know your redemption is drawing near. And point number three, nobody knows when any of this will happen. And it's point number three that drives many Christians crazy. Countless books have been written of people trying in vain to predict the exact coming of the bridegroom. They've had a 0% success rate. Here we are. Christ is clear to say, you neither know the day nor the hour. But the waiting is hard, isn't it? Waiting for the bridegroom. And we think there's time. No, there's time to repent later, to read Scripture later, to get back into church later, to deal with our neighbor later, to forgive our neighbor later. There's always time, or so we think. But friends, that's the devil's deception. He tempts us into putting off what we should do today. Today, because Jesus is coming, and we don't know when. Let us not presume that we have time, because maybe not. Don't think you can apologize and make amends with your neighbor tomorrow or the day after. Don't think to yourself you can address a real sin next week or the week after. Maybe not. One neither knows the day nor the hour, and the lazy, sinful flesh is prone to procrastinate and put off things, even spiritual things. And so Jesus' warning is for us, friends. It's for us. Don't be the foolish virgin who became so complacent, so lazy, she even forgot to bring oil for her lamp. In other words, don't be the Christian who puts off so many things that you end up neglecting even the important things, the things that really do matter, the right preparation for the bridegroom. And in so doing, you arrive at the party a little too late, and by then, the door is locked. Have oil in your lamps. Have oil in your lamps. So when you become drowsy and you sleep, you're still prepared when the bridegroom comes. Waiting is hard? Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mentioned that tomorrow may not come, but one reason we long for tomorrow is because we think today has little to offer. And look, let's face it, sometimes you get to the end of the day and you look back on it and think, oh, what a bear. I have days like that too. And we look forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day. That's the famous expression that ends the dramatic saga, Gone with the Wind, right? Tomorrow is another day. And there is the expectation that God will bring us tomorrow and that it will be better than today. We look forward to the future because every day is filled with challenges. And friends, God certainly does grant periods of peace and tranquility. Absolutely. But let me say this. The future is God's people that we should be looking forward to, focusing on, anticipating. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not next month. But I think you know it. It's eternal life with the bridegroom. It's life at the marriage feast with our Lord Jesus Christ. The waiting here and now, I know it's hard because we're bombarded by sin all the time. Tomorrow is another day. And if it comes, we should thank God for the days that he gives us here and now. But as we do that, as we thank God for every created day he gives us, we can look forward to and anticipate that glorious future of life with the bridegroom, life he has prepared for his bride, the church. So have some oil in your lamps. Be prepared. In other words, Have faith in God, believe in Christ, repent daily and boldly believe. Your sins have been paid for by the bridegroom who washes and cleanses his bride, the church. Christ will come for his church. He will come and take his people purified of their sins, washed in his blood, robed in his garments of cleanliness, purity, and righteousness. Christ comes for his people, for the people he has made ready. That last part, Christ making ready his people, I'm not making that up, but we find that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where in Ephesians, the apostle compares Christ and his church to the institution of marriage. As the husband is called to love his wife, Christ too loves his bride, the church. He adorns her and makes her ready, sanctifying her by the washing of water with the word. Washing of water with the word. That's a phrase straight from Holy Scripture. That's how you are prepared. For all of you who have been baptized, all of the glorious promises that God utters regarding baptism, they're yours every day. The waters of regeneration, being united to Christ, both to his death and to his resurrection. These gifts, they are your preparation, and friends, they belong to you daily. By daily contrition and repentance, the old man is drowned and died, killed, so that a new man can arise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That gift is yours daily. On account of being baptized into Christ, it is yours. My final point is this. When we think about our Lord's return, if your conscience is burdened by your sins, if you think they are too many and too great, if you're worried about your Lord's return and your conscience is telling you you haven't done enough, do more, do more, do more so you can get God's attention and he will let you in. To those sins, let me say, those are the very sins that Christ, your Savior, the bridegroom, has paid for in full. By going to the cross and shedding, pouring out his blood, those sins have been atoned for, and you are redeemed, purchased. Your sins are not held against you for the sake of Christ, the bridegroom, who will come for his people. Therefore, consider your preparation is that which begins and ends in Christ the Lord. Believe it, trust it, he is faithful, and he will not go back on his word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.